So while we're keeping this Feast of Unleavened Bread, tomorrow actually marks a spot for something else for us. And it's the day that we actually start counting 50 days until we keep the Feast of Pentecost. Now, the Feast of Pentecost pictures how we can come out of sin and how we can overcome it. Now, the days of unleavened bread are helping us to look at ourselves, looking at being able to purge out the old lump. And as Mr. Messier pointed out in his sermon on the first day, what we remove must be replaced with something new. And we should be filling up not only on matzos, but filling up on the Holy Spirit, which allows us to follow God more fully. And so it's, you know, during this time of pre-examination and examination, there's been a scripture that keeps coming to my mind. If you will turn to Luke 13. Luke 13, and we will begin in verse 6. And Christ here is speaking a parable, and he says, "A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, but he found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down.'" And the person who is keeping care of this this land for the owner, he pleaded a cause for this tree. It had not borne fruit for 3 years, as we read, but still it was given a chance. It was given 1 year. How well are we doing with growing our fruit? Has it been 3 years since we have borne any new fruit? What about in the last few days? Have we started to bud new fruit? You know, what have we changed? What haven't we changed? What are we willing to change? You know, if we remain without fruit, it's because we refuse to let Christ grow in us. You know, just like when Peter asked if he could walk out on that water, you know, he stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water. Instead of being ecstatic, you know, he looked around, he realized what he was doing. He saw that the water was going crazy, and fear kicked in. Faith left, and he started to sink. Now, Christ's question to Peter was, "Why did you doubt? If you didn't doubt, you would have kept walking on the water." Christ was walking on the water, and so that was Peter's initial reaction was, if he can do it, I can do it. So when we let God's faith work in us, we can accomplish mighty things. Now, three scriptures that I'd like to use to point this point out is the first one is in Matthew 13, in verse 31. And each one of these ties together, as you'll see, Matthew 13, verse 31 and 32. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. If you jump over to chapter 17 of Matthew, Matthew 17 and verse 20. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, something so small, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And then over in Luke 17, Luke 17, and starting in verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And so the Lord said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So we can see that faith is something that we have to continually grow. Now, before he left, Mr. Link had pointed out in his last sermon something that I really hadn't thought about before. And it's this. It's that Christ's faith knew that he would make it through his life without even sinning once. He knew that he would qualify to be our Savior. Can we imagine having that much faith? Now, in the few scriptures that we've just read, Christ is pointing out that our faith is not sufficient. You know, our faith starts out as this little mustard seed, but we see that it has to be exercised. It continually has to grow. Can you say that your faith right now could say to a mulberry tree to be uprooted and planted in a sea? Now, the examples Christ gave are physical applications. But it shows that once our faith matures, it can be used to shape our lives. Now, the only thing that limits us is our own lack of faith and God's ability to work in our lives. You know, as we get closer to the return of Christ, we will need more and more of this faith, God's faith. And it should be living in us. You know, if we are baptized and we believe that we have the Holy Spirit, then we have faith. We have to have faith that our sins are forgiven. Faith that we can overcome our sins through the power of the Holy Spirit. And faith that we will become God beings. And if we have this faith, we have to realize that it has consequences. If you will, turn to Romans 11 and verse 15. Romans 11 and verse 16. For if the first fruit is holy, you and I, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, do not boast against the branch. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And you will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. And you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Verse 22, therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted in to their own olive tree? See, it takes continued faith, belief, and obedience. But, brethren, we know that we have been called not to fail, but rather to succeed. Philippians 1 and verse 6, a well-known scripture. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, insomuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, that you may approve the things which are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. So if we take Christ and God at their word, we too can have faith that we will succeed. They want us to. So where will we put our faith?